This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. God has clear instructions for His people when we interact with our government. We're supposed to submit to human government and pray for our leaders, remembering that God is the one who is truly on the throne. Today, Pastor Sam will conclude a sermon titled, God Rules and His Kingdom Matters More, from Daniel chapter 9. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
That God opposes the proud, and I've been proud, and God has been opposing me. I can see it in my marriage. I can see it with my kids. I can see it at work. I can see it in all these ways, and I am sick and tired of living like this, and I want to get right so that I can get relief. And I want you to know something. When we come over and listen to Daniel pray at the very end of his prayer, that's not why he's praying. That's not why he's praying. Why do you pray for America? Why do you pray for this country? And what do you pray for when you pray for this country? I mean, we're told to pray for our leaders, are we not? Paul says that really clearly. Pray for those that have authority over you. We're supposed to pray for kings. We're supposed to pray for our political leaders. Well, what are we actually praying for when you sit down and you remember to pray for the country that we have been a part of and are a part of? What do we pray for? We pray for a certain political party to go out of favor. We pray for a certain politician to be elected. Why? We pray for certain Supreme Court judges to make certain decisions, and we do all of these things. Why? Because we want the economy to be better, and we want prayer back in the schools, and we want all of these things. Why do we want that? At the end of the day, we want that because if we can finally get our nation cleaned up enough, maybe God will bless it. And if God blesses it, the economy will be better. If God blesses it, life will be better, and it won't be so miserable for me. Now, I'm not suggesting you're doing that. I am suggesting that a lot of what we're hearing out of certain quarters is based on that kind of thinking. And if you listen to Daniel, Daniel is praying for a whole different reason. He is saying, God, I'm wanting you to act on behalf of your people however you desire to act, whenever you desire to act, for the sake of your name, for the sake of your glory. So let me ask you a question as you listen to Daniel pray. Where did he learn to pray like that? And more importantly, where can I learn to pray like that? And for that, we have to go to a New Testament text that's very familiar. We need to go over to Matthew chapter 6, and we need to listen in to the Lord teach people like Daniel how to pray. It's not enough to just listen to Daniel and observe the prayer. We actually need somebody to teach us how to pray like Daniel prayed. Gabriel was sent to Daniel to say to Daniel two things. God loves you, and God is hearing your prayers. And I want God to hear my prayers, so who can teach me how to pray like that? And you know this. This text in Matthew chapter 6, we call it the disciples' prayer. It's often called the Lord's Prayer. But it's actually the prayer that God taught his disciples to pray. And at the heart of this prayer is his kingdom. There are priorities that govern this kind of praying. Before we get to the priorities, let me observe something with you that's so precious in this text. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus said to the disciples, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father. That's stunning. There's no question that the second member of the Trinity, the Son of God, has this incredible relationship with the first member of the Trinity who's sitting on the throne, and he's looking at the disciples and he is saying, he didn't say this, pray to my Father. He is saying, pray to our Father. There's an incredible truth there that's worth mining out for another day. And when we come into the presence of our Father and we talk to him, what are the priorities that should govern our conversation with him? How should we pray? Jesus said, well, when you come to talk to our Father, pray for the exaltation of his person. How's that first petition go? Hallowed be your name. The word name there is a reference to God's character, God's person, who he is and what he is like. And Jesus is saying, listen, when you pray, the main thing that God is interested in and that you should be interested in is not that everything would work well in your life, but that his person would be exalted, that he would be glorified. There's a really simple way of understanding what it means to glorify God. And I learned this many years ago, so it's not original with me, but let me give it to you. Glorifying God simply means this: living in such a way that other people come to right conclusions about God, who he is, and what he's like. Living in such a way that other people come to right conclusions about God. Paul said it this way: whether you eat or drink, in all of the everyday affairs that are necessary to stay alive, whether you eat or drink, do all to what? The glory of God. Everything you do in the kingdom of Babylon is to be done so that the people who live in that kingdom, who live in all of that confusion, who are marked by all of that immorality, who have all of that darkness around them, every one of them, as they run into you and as they observe your life and they experience your gracious life and your bold words and they see your courageous faith, they would come to right opinions about who God is and what he's like. And then Jesus said, once you have articulated that as a priority in your prayer, God wants his kingdom, his authority to be established. Your kingdom come. And what's astonishing, as Daniel is praying for the kingdom of Israel in chapter 9, God lifts up his eyes, brings him into the throne room of heaven, and says to Daniel, don't worry about that little kingdom. There is a much bigger kingdom going on here. And it is an eternal kingdom, and it is a kingdom that will have no end, and it is a kingdom that nobody will overcome. Here are all of these political people that are going to rise up with great power and great pomp. Here are demonic creatures that are going to come against that kingdom. And I want you to know something, Daniel. There is a great kingdom that is going to be established, and you need to be praying for that kingdom to come. Jesus looked at his disciples as he taught them this prayer, and he said to them, I want you to know something. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you that kingdom. Daniel could live courageously and boldly and graciously and joyfully because he hadn't lost anything in the little kingdom. He had gained everything with the kingdom that will never be moved. And you are a part of that kingdom. Pray for the establishment and coming of that kingdom, and then pray for the doing of God's wills and his plans. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus said, now look, when you pray that way, when this becomes the fabric of your life, when this is why you live, this is why you get up in the morning, that God's name would be known and understood, who he is and what he's like, that his authority would be extended, that his kingdom would grow spiritually in the hearts of men, that his will would be done by the power of the Spirit through the Word. You're going to need resources to do that. You're going to need food. You're going to need daily provision. So ask God for it. You're going to need things to stay alive. And so ask God for your daily bread. There are times when you're going to stumble and you're going to trip, and all of the words that you're saying about the kingdom are going to be mixed up by something that you tripped up over, some temptation that assailed you, some trespass that you committed. And so you are going to need to come to God, not just for daily provision. You're going to need to come to God regularly for pardon. And the way Jesus put it is, you need to experience gospel grace each day by asking him to forgive you when you sin and granting you the heart to forgive others who sin against you. Do you realize it's not just hard to forgive other people? It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible to forgive people that really hurt us repeatedly. And I think maybe God designed it that way so we would never take His forgiveness for granted. Because we come to Him with all kinds of things we want Him to forgive, and it's like, God, please forgive me. Thank you for doing it. And we walk away as though it were easy for God to do. And God says, I don't ever want you to forget the magnitude of what just happened to you when I forgave you. So here's what I want you to do. That person over there, did you wrong? Yeah. I want you to go forgive him. What? I can't do that. And all of a sudden, we run up on the immense difficulty that we have to grant forgiveness to others. And we're never going to be able to do it apart from God granting us that ability to do. And then we're to pray for protection, because when you live this way in Babylon, you are going to be opposed. When you open up the book of Daniel and you observe the life of Daniel for 6 chapters, you begin to realize there was remarkable protection and remarkable preservation of this man and his friends, and they needed that protection and that preservation because of all of the attacks that were coming against them on a human level. But it's not till you get to chapters 7 through 12 that you find out that all of that human opposition was actually being driven at a much higher level. And you get this window into a world that is every bit as real as our world. We just don't ever see it. Gabriel says, now Daniel, the reason I'm late, you prayed 3 weeks ago, and the reason I'm just getting here is that I was opposed. And you get a little window into a war that's going on between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And that's why Jesus said you need to pray that your Father would not lead you. He would not, the road would not take you into suffering or temptation. But when it does, pray. This is what Jesus did on the last night of his earthly life. When he was looking at this incredible suffering that was coming upon him, he said, Lord, if there's any other way. But if not, protect us from the evil one. And the reason that we can pray this way is because somebody else is praying for us. And that's the final thing I want us to look at, and the final prayer that we're going to look at this morning. Daniel prayed, the disciples prayed, and then Jesus prayed. In John 17, Jesus prays. So if you have a Bible, let me have you turn to John 17 and look at verse 9. I mean, it's like we're listening into a sacred conversation between Jesus and his Father. There are a lot of times in the Gospels where the gospel writers say, now Jesus went away and prayed. Or when he had given thanks, he broke bread. And so we have all of these reminders of the fact that Jesus prayed. But there are very few places where we actually get to listen in to a conversation. And John 17 is the longest of those conversations. And look at verse 9. Jesus says to his Father, I am praying for them. And the them are his people, his own. The people to whom, in verse 6, he has manifested God's name. People that God has given him out of the world. Yours they were, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And they know that everything that you have given me is from you, and I have given them the words that you have given me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I have come from you. These are people who know Jesus. They are his own. And the reason he prays for them is in verses 10 through 14. Verse 10, all mine are yours and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. In other words, God, you sent me into the world to glorify you. And so I have caused people to know who you are and what you're like. And you have given me people to go into the world so that the world can know what I'm like. Just like I glorified you and caused the entire world to know who you are and what you're like, these people are people you gave me, and they're going to be sent into that world to cause other people to know who I am and what I'm like. And that's why I'm praying for them. They are in the world in my stead. Verse 11, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And the world hates them, just like it hated me. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And I am sending them into that world for the same reason you sent me into the world. Look at verse 18, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. God, you sent me into the world on a mission. Part of that mission was to glorify you, to cause the entire world to know who you are and what you're like. That was part of the mission. And the other part of the mission was to redeem the world. And I am sending the people you gave me into that very same world with that same mission. They are to cause the world to know who I am and what I am like, and they are to announce with authority the redemption I have accomplished. And the world is going to hate them just like it hated me. And so that's why Jesus prays very specific things for these people. Look at verses 13 and following. He prays that they would have joy in verse 13. In verse 15, that they would be protected, keep them from the evil one. In verse 17, that they would be perfected. Look at how he prays, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. He prays for their unity, that they would be unified. Look at verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. And then in verse 24, that they would be with Jesus to see the immense love that God has for them. Verse 24, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me to see my glory. There's one big idea that Jesus is after. It's in verse 23, so that the world may know. God, I'm praying this for these people that you gave me, all of these disciples, all of these Daniels, because I'm sending them into the same world that you sent me into for the same reason. Just like you sent me to glorify you and to cause that world to know who you are and what you're like, I'm sending them into that same world, into the kingdoms of Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome and all of the kingdoms of the world, so that they may cause the world to see who I am and what I'm like and why I came. And here's the big thing. I want the world to know that you sent me. And I want the world to know that you love them. That you love them like you love me. Daniel, I've been sent to you because you are greatly loved. Jesus, I want you to know as you go into the world, I want the world to know something about you. I want the world to know that God loves you just like he loves me. You are greatly loved, and your prayers have been heard. And you know why your prayers are heard? They're not heard just because you're righteous and humble and gracious and bold. They're heard for an even bigger reason. They're heard because somebody is praying for you. While you pray for the world around you, there's somebody praying for you, and his name is Jesus. You say, well, I'm not sure that I qualify, Pastor, for that kind of praying because I'm not a Daniel. I mean, you talk about courageous faith. My faith is pretty much gone. I mean, really, it's almost gone. You talk about bold words. I haven't been bold for a long time. My whole life is eaten up by fear and frustration. Gracious life. I mean, it's everything I can just to hold on to the gospel. There's nothing gracious in my life. In the book of Luke, there's a text. Jesus looks at one of his Daniels, a modern-day Daniel named Peter, and he says, Peter, Satan has demanded something. Last time we see Satan demanding anything is in the book of Job. Satan has demanded something. He has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. Satan wants to destroy your faith. But I pray for you that your faith may not fail. Wow. You talk about New Testament reference to deconstruction, that's it. Here is Peter, and Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, you need to know something. There is an evil one, and he has come to the throne of heaven, and he's demanded something, and the thing that he's demanded is you, and what he wants to do with you is ruin your faith. But I prayed for you. Peter said to him, Lord, listen to the confident words of Peter. I am ready. Lord, if this is really going on in heaven, bring it. I mean, I am ready. I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus is so gracious to Peter, isn't he? I mean, listen how Jesus talks to Peter. He says, Peter, I tell you, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times. But he doesn't leave Peter there, does he? He says, now, Peter, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And you know the story. I mean, everything happened just like Jesus said it would happen in spite of Peter's bold statement and his, you know, false courage. God, this is the way it's going to be. And you know, Satan do his worst and I'm gonna stand. Oh, this isn't going to happen. And the rooster crows that morning and three times he's already denied him. But you go to the book of John, at the end of the book of John, there's a fire and a cookout in the morning, and Jesus restores Peter. And Peter goes on to write two books. And those books are all about suffering and all about hope. And many of our lives have been strengthened by Peter's words. And the reason he repented and the reason he wrote those books is because and I want you to know, there is someone in heaven right now who's praying for you. And there's only one time in all of the universe's existence when that person got a no from the one on the throne. And that was when he prayed for a cup to pass. When this person, Jesus, prays, his Father hears and answers, and he is praying for you. And when the one who rules and whose kingdom matters more hears this man pray, he always answers. I don't know what's going to happen in my life or yours in the next 7 days. But I do know this, God rules. And his kingdom matters more. And somebody is praying for us. And we can rejoice in that.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. Today's speaker is Dr. Sam Horn. He's the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, come join one of our morning worship services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. every Sunday. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.com. If you have any questions about today's message or about Palmetto Baptist Church, reach out to radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at PBC and produced by CJ Billieu. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.